Hi everyone, I'm your host Tess from Spellbinding, and you're listening to Everyday Witch, a show that helps you discover and unlock the magic within. Hello everyone, today's guest is Blue Cameron, who is a business astrologer and host of the Strategic Magic Podcast. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, and I would love if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about your journey to get to where you are and what you do.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you so much for having me. I am a business astrologer, and it's so funny. This is actually my third online business. So I actually started off back in 2014. I was a freelance writer, and then I changed niches and became a business coach for sex educators. And that business was great until it wasn't. I had a really bad burnout, and then a bunch of life stuff just happened. So I ended up closing down that business and essentially having to rebuild my life. And in the process of doing that, I was at a point where I had to like move back home. Like, it was just not cute. And I didn't have the money to invest in like another coach or another program to help me get unstuck. So instead, I went back to something that I had always loved, which is astrology. And I went back to my birth chart. I went back and I studied it and I studied it and I studied it. And I found my own process in learning about astrology and business astrology in particular. It helped me to find my footing again and get re-energized to enter the online business space. And I was like, wow, I should be doing this for other people too. So I started sharing my story and it really resonated. And now that's what I get to do. I get to work with other coaches and service providers and help them to connect with their own power inside of their birth charts and use it within their business strategy. So that's what I do now. And I love being able to do this work.
I love that. I think it's so unique, and I've literally never heard of, you know, there's like business coaches, there's spiritual business coaches, there's so many different like niches in that, but I've never heard of an astrologer business coach that like uses astrology specifically for business. So I think it's such a great idea. And I think you kind of like have a really unique concept.
Yeah. And what I love about it too is that it brings together like these two sides, right? Like there's the very practical, like, this is what you do side that like we all have to like follow to a sense if we want to have a successful business, right? Like it's a rinse and repeat recipe for success in that way. But then there's also the fun part of like bringing you into it, right? So every single client that I work with, even though they're in business for themselves, or they know that they want to create a business, they want to establish themselves in a particular niche, it's like we get to individualize it by using their, what I call astrological strengths, right? So I look to what's actually going on in their birth chart and use that to guide the strategy rather than just create a framework that's like, okay, follow all these steps and you'll get the same results, which is like, we all know at this point that's not necessarily how it ends up being. So I love that I get to bring in both of those sides, right, with this work.
Yeah. What is your favorite thing about astrology? Like, what drew you to astrology?
Oh, gosh. I'm like, just one thing? I really love the connection aspect to it. Like, there's a sense of connecting to yourself, right? And to these different parts of yourself, these different aspects of your life. But then there's also connection to community and like ancestral work that's like really prevalent within astrology. So I personally practice traditional Hellenistic astrology. And one of the things that really drew me to that over modern astrology was the connection of like, wow, I'm looking at the stars and the planets and the charts the same ways that ancient astrologers were. And like, I'm able to build on top of that knowledge by bringing in like the modern aspect to it. And I just think that's so cool. So it's like this really neat way of reminding us that like we are all special and unique, but then also we're part of something bigger and all interconnected in all these really cool ways.
Yeah, that's really cool. And like, I mean, I know this wasn't a question I had on there, but I have interviewed astrologers before, and I kind of love asking this question is like, because you know so much about astrology, and like you said, it's like interconnected and everything. Do you believe in fate and everything because it's like written in stars and like astrology?
Oh, I actually really love this question too. I feel like I definitely do, and also believing in fate and fortune, right? It doesn't negate the fact that we also have free will. So, like, especially within traditional astrology, like your birth chart is not just about you. It's really a roadmap of everything that is predicted to happen in your life. It helps you to navigate and guide challenging and also like really positive things that'll happen throughout your life, right? And so in that way, it's like these are things that are like fated encounters. Like I definitely believe that, and I've experienced it, and my clients have experienced it enough that even if I didn't believe in it, I'm like, yeah, I believe in it now. But then at the same time, like as human beings, we all have free will. So it's like just like I guess whenever I talk about astrology online, there's always, I don't get this quite often, but sometimes I'll get somebody that's like, astrology's fake or whatever. And I'm like, I'm not going to put energy into like proving this thing to you when you're committed to not believing in it, right? Like, if that is your worldview and that's like what you believe, okay, sure. But I'm really here and I'd rather put my energy towards connecting with and supporting other people who I don't have to convince, who already share that belief and are willing to, or are willing to like shift it, right? Like, I want to understand how this works. I want to see the ways that fate and fortune and also free will can coexist together. Like, that's a conversation I'd much rather have than like trying to convince somebody that it's like an either-or situation.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think that's kind of how it is with any spiritual practice is like you either believe in it or you don't. And then it's like free will along with what you're telling the person is most likely the outcome because people are going to change things if they decide to do something differently. But at the same time, you'll probably end up, repeating the pattern if you continue the same thing.
And then also too, like there's this aspect of like, what is there to believe with astrology? Because to me, it's very practical. It's very like rooted in the physical world. Like it's not like just in the air woo-woo kind of thing. It's like, no, it's based on the stars and planets. Like there's math involved. Like there's very grounded practices and traditions within astrology. So this also like the whole question of like, do you believe in it or not? I'm like, well, it's do you believe in air? Do you believe it's like, you know, like it's, I don't know. I feel like there's enough evidence to like support that it's a very real thing. So I think the question of like belief, it's just, it's very funny to me now.
I also think it's funny when like everyone's like, oh my God, why do I feel so weird right now? And it's usually because there's something going on, like with like Mercury retrograde or solar eclipses or whatever's happening or like full moons. And it's like, well, usually it all lines up. But if you don't know that, then it's just like, oh, I must be PMSing or I must be doing this or.
And especially the astrological weather of the time of this recording too, like there's a lot going on, and like I've been seeing that too, like, or astrology girlies, like what's going on in the sky right now, and everyone's like, oh, let me explain, friend.
Well, can you explain a little bit because it is like Aries season. There is Mercury retrograde, and then while we're recording, in just a few days, it's going to be the solar eclipse, which is actually on my birthday as well.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah. So, okay. A few things. So, one, we are in Aries season, right? And Aries is the first, you know, if you looked at the zodiac signs within a chronological order, Aries is the first. It's a fire sign, it's a cardinal sign. So, it's very much like the archetype of Aries is very much about like leadership, being the first, being independent. and moving before like other people move, right? So that's like the collective energy that we are in. And with so many planets in the sign of Aries, the sun, Mercury, like we have the support from the planets to lean into those characteristics, to embrace these characteristics within ourselves. And then also like it's impacting like how we also see the world as well. So like where I am, we're in spring fully now, and there's this like really beautiful energy of like people spending more time outside, people like hanging out, people wanting to like be more social too. And that tends to happen when we move out of Pisces season, which is the end of winter in the northern hemisphere, into Aries season, which is like full on, we are firmly in spring, we're ready to be outside and like emerge from our hibernation, right? And then there's also the eclipses, which actually started with the last eclipse that we had with the lunar eclipse in Libra. And the eclipses always happen in pairs. So there's two. And within the two eclipses, they highlight two sibling signs. So in this case, it's Libra and Aries. And so these places within your chart individually are being highlighted, as well as for the collective, right? So everybody is experiencing these at the same time in different ways. Eclipses are also like super chaotic energy. So I usually advise people like, this is not really like a time to be experimenting or like planning out specifics of like, what do I do with it? It's more of a time to like release control around an area of life that this rules for you. So generally speaking, right, Aries represents, you know, all the traits that we talked about, but then it'll also represent the individual. So places where you're more driven or have more of a desire to embrace like what the benefit is for you, how this is going to impact your individual life, versus Libra, which is much more about relationships. So how do we connect with the other? How do we build relationships with other people? How do we move beyond the self and embrace the collective, what is best for the collective, right? And we're seeing this like play out very much in real time with like current events. Sorry. yeah, so we're seeing this play out in real time with how it impacts current events and the ways that relationships are literally happening, like how people are forging relationships with each other and then also dissolving relationships that no longer support them. So that is happening alongside Aries season. And we're also in Mercury retrograde. So all planets retrograde, right? And it's like a normal like planetary maintenance for how the planets just like naturally act. And with Mercury being in retrograde, right, Mercury rules commerce, communication, technology, very major important things that we value within our society. And so traditionally, Mercury retrograde is a time where we're embracing the re. I had an episode on Mercury retrograde and I said that and I was like, ooh, that's good. So it's like this time to not necessarily make new plans, but to reevaluate, reassess, review what you have already done and to make plans for the future, right? So this is a really great time, especially as we move like within business from quarter one, we're firmly in quarter two right now. It's a really great time for business owners to look at, okay, what did I actually do in quarter one? What were my goals? What were the actual like tangible data that I like was able to receive and to actually complete, and like how can I use that information to plan to improve for quarter two? So like that would be a really good use of like Mercury retrograde, as well as like in dealing with the eclipses. Again, it's about like releasing control, so not necessarily like making solid concrete plans that you are very firmly attached to happening, but really just like being in a space of I'm just going to release control around this, right? Because the thing about eclipse season as well, I think more so than any of the other things that are happening currently, eclipse energy, it's going to last like 6 months to like a year after the actual eclipses happen. So we're going to be feeling the effects and we're going to see it unfolding over the next 6 months. So there's definitely time and space needed in order to like really see how these eclipses are going to affect you. So there's a lot going on. And I think it definitely adds to a lot of the tensions, a lot of the issues that we're seeing like unfolding right now. But it also can be like a really good opportunity to get clarity on how to move forward, especially if you're feeling like stuck or uncertain.
Okay, that's a lot of great advice. Do you have any like things that you think are a huge myth when it comes to Mercury retrograde? Because I feel like there's so much fear around it almost. Mm-hmm. And everyone's always like, oh my God, it's Mercury retrograde, like all these posts, everything. So what do you think is like the biggest myth around that?
Yeah. I think, okay, I'm going to cheat. I have two. The first one is that Mercury retrograde is a bad thing. Like I mentioned, every single planet except for the sun and the moon retrograde, which is like, it can be a good thing if you have like major like Cancer Leo placements, but then it's also like the eclipses also hit you hard. So like, but retrogrades are not a bad thing. They're not a time to like feel like Chicken Little, really. It's again, learning how to use the energy to your advantage. So if it's a time to like not necessarily take outward action, it's like a really good time to reflect and to prepare for when the planet goes direct, when it's moving naturally, right? And then I think the second thing is that people also think that if you have retrograde planets, that that is a bad thing. So if you have planets that are naturally retrograde within your birth chart, like, for example, Mercury is naturally retrograde in my chart, right? I find that this is also a really good time to kind of rebel against, like, traditional advice. So I actually find that Mercury retrogrades are a really good time for me to personally get more visible and to not necessarily start new projects, but if I've been thinking about launching something for a while and it just so happens that like the best timing for that is during Mercury retrograde, like I usually find that I have pretty good results with that. Like I can play around with those rules a little bit more because Mercury retrograde energy feels more natural to me. And I do also find that I have a lot more clarity around that time as well. And so if there's something that I've been like considering or thinking about, or just like I've been, I don't know, hitting a wall up against, Mercury retrograde will also be a time where I feel a lot more clarity, or I'll find like the answer that I was seeking a lot easier than when Mercury's direct. So yeah.
I feel like that's not what you normally hear. Normally it's like, oh my God, everything goes wrong during Mercury retrograde. Don't mm-hmm. start new projects. Don't do anything big, or like, don't try to make a move during Mercury retrograde because like everything is going to go wrong is mm-hmm. normally the type of post you see. So I feel like that's really great advice because most people are probably frozen almost during Mercury retrograde.
Yeah. Or scared that they're going to do the wrong thing too. And that's one of the other things I really love about astrology and what my personal studying has like really taught me. Like we do have these like larger rules of understanding how the planets interact with us. But again, it all comes down to what is going on in your individual chart. So I think that there's also that, right? Like it's always important to, at the end of the day, go back to what is happening in your chart, because this is how the energy is affecting the collective, that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to resonate for you. It really depends on what's going on with that particular planet. In this case, is Mercury actually retrograde in your chart, right? What planet is it, you know, what sign is it in, right? What house is it in? Because the houses also determine, you know, what area of life that this may impact you. So for an individual that like has Mercury ruling like their 10th house, that's going to affect them a lot differently than somebody whose Mercury is in, you know, the third house, for example, right? So it really just like, it depends with so much.
Yeah. And since you are a business coach also, not mm-hmm. just an astrologer.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for business or spiritual entrepreneurs?
Ooh, so many. So the very first thing, this is a little spicy, but I always say, like, if you're considering bringing astrology into your business strategy, the best thing that you can do is to start with your personal birth chart. Like, if you have a business chart, that's great. That's lovely. But I always see it as the individual birth chart, like your birth chart, especially if you have a personal brand, is what you want to go with. And then you can add the business chart on top of it. But because the energy of your birth chart never changes, it's always reliable. It's always consistent energy that you can tap into. And when you have a personal brand, like, people want to connect with you. I think especially right now, like, people have a lot of fatigue around, like, faceless brands and faceless accounts. Like, we want to interact with people, and we want to see your personality. We want to hear what you think about things. We want to see who you are and witness how wonderful and great and unique you are in real time, outside of just like what you can do to help people. So I think the more you can showcase that and really lean into learning like what makes you special and what your astrological strengths are in your personal birth chart, that's like gonna be a key to success that you can really lean into. And as well, I think that it's also really important for business owners to niche down. I'm just shaking the table with my advice today. But I really think that niching should help you feel expansive and not restricted. And I see this a lot too when I'm consulting with business owners who around their midheaven specifically, which is like one of my favorite placements in the birth chart, especially when it comes to figuring out how to bring astrology into your business strategy. And I find that, you know, especially for business owners who have their midheaven in the 11th house rather than the 10th house, there's this struggle of like, I don't want to niche down like too much because I don't want to be restricted. And the advice that I often give those clients is like, you're not meant to niche down in a traditional way. So it's always important to like find the niche that works for you. Like, yes, be able to communicate clearly like how you're able to help people. What am I going to get as a benefit from being part of your community, right? People want to know that. But also, is there like a mission that you can niche down to rather than a, I help this person do X, Y, Z? It's like, could you niche down around a mission, a problem that you solve, a uniting, I don't know, interest, right? If your business is more about like community building than selling like one-on-one coaching or like a specific product, right? Like that could be a really good way to niche down where you still have a lot of space to play with different offers, different like ways of delivery. Like you can get creative in other ways in your business, but there still needs to be that stability and structure. And in that way, I think more spiritual entrepreneurs specifically need to embrace the power of niching down and also like not being afraid of being seen and recognized as a business owner. Like desiring to make money in your business is not a bad thing. Like it is something that keeps and allows us to have our businesses running. So it's like, yes, you should prioritize, you know, pricing your offers accordingly. It's to be able to consider the amount of time and energy that it takes for you. Even with like my readings and stuff too, like I charge higher than a lot of other astrologers do, but I consider this to be one, an investment into business. And also energetically, it takes a lot for me to like hold space in studying someone's chart and also strategizing with them within their business and like really giving them lasered, zeroed in advice, right? So I need to be able to offset that accordingly in order for it to feel equitable for me to provide in my business. And also for it to feel like my business is also like supporting me, right? So that I have the rest that I need in order to show up at 100% for my clients. So yeah, I think I'll leave it there.
Yeah, I agree with the pricing. I think especially within the spiritual community, people struggle with that because they're like, oh, I don't want to be asking for money and like seem almost like toxic in that way or like egotistical. And so they like don't ask for it, or they ask for less than they should be. And it's really hard to price your services because of that. And then with the coaching industry, I feel like it's like one or the other. You have coaches that are like, I'm making millions a day, and like all these like crazy posts about how much they're making. And then you have others that are asking way less than they should because they feel like, you know, they don't know like how much to ask.
Yeah. And it's like, there needs to be a balance of both, right? Because on the one hand, it's like, I think it's unethical to come out the gate of like, I'm like, it's day one, I'm going to charge $10,000. And I don't like, you don't have the experience or like the expertise to back it up. Like that is unethical. And that is what makes it like not great. Right. But it's also like, I think that everyone should be paid for the work that they do. And even if it is your day one, I think that you should still charge a number that you should get behind. It's not even necessarily about having the quote unquote right amount, but like, what's a number that you can get behind that feels good? And it feels like, wow, I'm giving someone an opportunity to support me as I'm supporting them. Because we're at the end of the day offering a service that people very much need and that they want. And people want to pay us. People want to invest in their well-being. They want to prioritize their spiritual growth, their alignment, their connection to their authentic self, right? So the more that we can embrace that and honor that by treating the work that we do as valuable, by, you know, seeing it as an actual business, like that's a way that we can continue to be fulfilled and also allow our business to grow in a way that it can support us. Another thing also with that is this has been part of my journey in growing my astrology business. I have a full-time job outside of this, which is, I think I had a lot of personal shame around that, but finding a full-time job that I love, that has the flexibility and is able to support me in growth, it took a lot of the pressure off of my business to provide everything from day one as well. So that I think is really, really important as well. If you find that, especially if you're struggling with cash flow, with like building that consistency and getting enough clients in the door to just like pay the bills and to be able to pay yourself at the end of the day, right? Like, there's no shame in getting a job. There's no shame in like getting a day job or like getting something that is going to be very easy for you to do that provides some sort of benefit and also allows you to like sustain yourself, right? In while you're in the process of building out your business. So that's also something to consider as well.
Yeah, I actually love that you brought that up because there's so many entrepreneurs and like I know like small business owners that are struggling and then refuse to get a job because they're like, oh, that means I failed in some way if I get a job. And that never really made sense to me because I'm like, okay, but if you need to pay your bills and you're like struggling and it's stressing you out so bad, like there's no shame in getting a job because you know, you're still working towards your goal. You're still working on your business. So I love that you brought that up because I think that there is shame around it. Like for some reason, people feel that way, but there doesn't need to be because nobody should be struggling.
Yeah, no, I definitely held that shame for way longer than I should have after my burnout. Like I had that exact same feeling. I was like, oh, it's going to mean that I failed and people are going to judge me and like all these different stories that like did not happen. Because at the end of the day, I'm like, well, if somebody's judging me, like, do I really care about their opinion? And I feel so much happier, not only because I was able to, you know, find a job that I genuinely like to do, and that it fulfills me in other ways. It also allows me to like work on other skills that I can use in my business. So like, it's a very like customer facing role. I have to, and as an introvert, like I don't always want to be in front of people, but it really is helping me to like build my confidence and like getting out there and like sharing my story and like even just like striking up conversations with people, which is so small, but in terms of like being able to advocate for myself or even being in spaces where like I may feel a little shy about being the only astrologer that's like in the space, right? in that sense, it really helps. And then also it provides, outside of a regular paycheck, which is great, and like health insurance, there's also other benefits that I can use for, like, you know, my personal time. So my full-time job is in the travel industry. So like I get to travel for like reduced cost and for free, which is amazing. So I'm like, oh yeah, like I can totally take my business on the go. I can plan for in the future if I want to do in-person, you know, events with clients. That's something that is a lot more manageable to do sooner than it would be if I didn't have the assistance of this job. So I think there's also like that aspect too. It's not just about like either or, am I a full-time entrepreneur or do I have a 9-to-5? It's also like you get to choose the benefits that like work for you as well. If you want to travel, right? Are there ways that you can bring your skill set into the travel industry or like, you know, other things that you benefit? And I think that that can be really cool too, along with like trades as well. You know, if there's other like practitioners or other folks that like you're connected with and you're like, hey, like, would you be cool with like doing a trade and like doing a reading trade or something? Just essentially, I think it's really interesting because I think we're in a space, especially within capitalism, where people are starting to be really open to alternate ways of getting their needs and their wants like provided, right? Which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah, I agree. And like it's just like the way the world is today, the way things cost so much and mm-hmm. everything, the entrepreneurship isn't as realistic as maybe it was like 5-10 years ago, you know?
Oh yeah.
It's not mm-hmm. as easy. So to have a second job is just so much less stressful than struggling and trying to make it work, because like you can still make it work, but you can also have a job and uh-huh. just be happy with both. Like that doesn't
Right. And then also just like embracing the confidence to like do business differently as well. Like just because, you know, somebody's built their business by like, oh yeah, like I've worked a 9-to-5 and then I've also put in like 12 hours in my business. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to follow that model for your business as well. It's like finding what works for you and then building your business based on your strengths and to work with your nature and your energy rather than against it.
Yeah. So the last question I ask everyone is, what does magic mean to you?
Ooh, magic is, I feel like magic means everything. I see it as like interwoven into everything that I do. And the more time that I spend with my own magical practice, the more that I'm like, oh, there's like these small quiet moments throughout my day that are, I think, the most magical. And it could be like during morning meditation or making a cup of tea or even being able to like go on a walk and like have my headphones in and just like take in nature and also the space to do what I love in my astrology work. Like the more that I embrace how normal magic is, the more magical it ends up being and feeling and experiencing for me. Yeah.
And where can people find you or like how can people work with you?
Yeah. So definitely check out my podcast, Strategic Magic. If you really want to know more about bringing astrology into your business strategy, that is my favorite place to show up. And there's tons of episodes to help you learn more about astrology specifically. And then also I do monthly transits for the upcoming season as well. So like if you're curious about, you know, what is going down in Aries season, things like that, then the podcast is the best place to show up. And then also if you want to learn more about specifically how to use astrology in business, then my email list is the second best place to hang out with me. I send weekly emails on bring astrology into your business strategy. So the link for all that, you know, it'll be in the place where you can find it.
Awesome. And then I will also put the links in the bio for this episode so people can easily find it as well. And thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really enjoyed talking to you and learning everything about astrology and for this month especially.
No, thank you so much for having me on the episode. This was so fun.